You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Tuesday, September 21st, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we recap, honestly, maybe one of the better Orioles wins of the season, at least in terms of the pitching side of things. John Means was dominant as the Orioles beat the Phillies 2-0 in Game 1 of a three-game series in the city of brotherly love. I'll recap the game, give you the five things you need to know from an impressive Orioles win as they play spoiler here in September once again. Then we're going to take a look at one of the newest Orioles, the right-handed pitcher Brooks Criskey, who the Orioles claimed off waivers from the Yankees last week and then actually added to the active roster on Sunday. Now, he hasn't yet pitched for the O's in a Major League game, but we're going to get you ready for when he finally does, probably later tonight. And Stacy Gatsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees here on the Locked On Podcast Network, joins us to talk about Criskey's career with the Yankees, his last 2 years in the major leagues with the Bronx Bombers, and why his ERA is so high and why it really worked out with great minor league stats, but never worked out at the major league level for Criskey with the Yanks. Then at the end of the pod, we will take a look at the rest of the roster moves the Orioles made along with bringing Criskey up. They also added Thomas Eshelman to the active roster. You may see him pitch tonight. And they also optioned a guy and DFA'd a guy as well. And we'll get you ready for tonight's game 2 as well. So that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by another show here on the network that is Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins for the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, including yours truly. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So, we start today with an Orioles victory. The September Spoilerioles, as I'm calling them. It's really going to stick, trust me. Are back with a 2-0 win over the Philadelphia Phillies in Philly in Game 1 of a three-game series on Monday night. As the O's, with the victory, get themselves to 48-102 on the season. And this is somewhat of an important victory because you know what it means? They're going to finish officially with a better record than the 2018 Orioles. Of course, those 2018 Orioles that went an absolutely abysmal 47-115. These Orioles just got win number 48, getting closer and closer to 50 on the year. But more importantly, played spoiler to the Phillies, who came into this game just two games back of the Atlanta Braves for first place in the NL East. And the O's really helped out the Braves in this one, helped the Mets maybe hang around in the division race, helped out wildcard teams like the Cardinals, like the Reds, like the Padres, all fighting for that spot. So you're welcome from Orioles fans to those in the NL wildcard race and NL East race. But I'm going to get you the five things you need to know from the Orioles 2-0 win over the Phillies on Monday night. And the first thing you need to know is that John Means was absolutely fantastic in this one. And to be honest, probably his best start since he threw the no-hitter all the way back on May 5th in Seattle. Means' final line in Philly on Monday night, 6 2/3 scoreless innings. He allowed just four hits. He struck out six. He walked just one. He threw 105 pitches in the process and lowered his ERA to 3.25 on the season. And for John Means, you know, it was an interesting day for him because he was going fastball pretty heavy on the day. It was 51% fastballs, 25% changeups, 13% curves, and 10% sliders. Now, that curveball has kind of been a go-to pitch for him a little bit lately. Didn't go to it as much, but it felt like he had the whole repertoire, and not in terms of swings and misses on Monday night. Now, he did get 13 whiffs on 105 pitches. He did get six strikeouts. You like the 13 whiffs, but he wasn't getting crazy swing and miss numbers like he's gotten at times this year. But what he was doing was using those pitches to get a lot of soft contact. And, you know, he did get a little lucky, too. There were some hard contact hit right at some guys in this game. But he was not afraid to use that fastball. He got 7 of his 13 whiffs on the fastball, 6 called strikes with it. And it was looking good velocity-wise. You know, it was right around his year average at 92 to 93, hit 94 a couple of times, but it was an effective 92-93, and that was big for him. And then the changeup, 5 of his 13 whiffs came on the changeup. Those changeup whiff numbers had kind of gone down recently for John Means, but the changeup seemed to be more so back for him as that solid number two pitch behind the fastball. And then he was able to go to that curveball, drop it in the zone some. He got a huge strikeout of Bryce Harper late in the game to end the sixth inning on that curveball. He also blew a fastball by Bryce Harper, struck out Bryce Harper three times on the night, also walked him once, but that was pretty impressive because it looks like Harper might be the guy who wins NL MVP this year, and Means just shut him down from the left side. And Means also used the curveball and the slider to his advantage. You know, he threw 14 curves, 11 sliders. That's one of the most even distributions between those two breaking balls that he's thrown all season. And, you know, neither of them were crazy effective. The curveball was pretty good. The slider was okay. But, you know, he was able to throw all four pitches double-digit times, which, you know, lately we haven't seen as much from Means. And they all look solid. And he got his strikeouts and he commanded his fastball well. And what he did was fight late in that game. You know, he was through six scoreless. He comes back out for the seventh. You know, he gets into a little bit of trouble. He gives up a couple of singles. All of a sudden, it's first and second with one out. He's got Didi Gregorius up. He bears down, gets a ground ball that, you know, you hoped would have been a double play. It was a tough play to turn, obviously. Orioles didn't turn it. Ended up being first and third with two outs. And he came out of the game there, and he was lucky that Cole Sulcer came in, got an out to keep it a scoreless outing for John Means after he left with two outs in the seventh. But he was really, really good. And again, you know, you want the whiffs to look better. You want more than 13 whiffs in 105 pitches. You want more than six strikeouts in 6 2/3 innings. But he put up a zero. He put up his best start since the no-hitter, and that's all you want to see after the injuries, the sticky stuff questions, and the struggles of John Means here in the second half of the year. This was fantastic to see on Monday night. And the second thing you need to know from Monday night's game is that John Means impacted this game as a hitter as well. Now, Means, his first time up, came up with a runner on first and nobody out, tried to lay down a bunt, wasn't a good one, went right back to the pitcher. They threw the guy out at second, but Means did beat it out at first. Pitchers hitting, incredibly stupid. Why are we doing it? Just get the universal DH. But past that, Means struck out in his next at-bat. And then, you know, Means was through six scoreless innings. You know, he got the strikeout of Bryce Harper to end the sixth. It was 2-0 Orioles. And you look at the lineup after Harper, and it went Realmuto, McCutchen, and Vierling, three straight right-handed hitters who are pretty good against lefties. And you thought, you know, Means was only around 80 pitches at that point, which he could obviously go much longer, but you thought, you know, maybe that would be it with his spot due up in the next inning. And, you know, his spot was due up with his second in the inning, and with all the righties coming up, you thought maybe that would be it. But Brandon Hyde leaves him in the game. And with one out in the seventh inning against Sam Coonrod, who deserves to have all bad things happen to him, John Means hits a double over the head of center fielder Odubel Herrera and coasts into second with a double. His first extra base hit of his career, the second hit of his career. He was also the last Orioles pitcher to have a hit, which was late in 2019 with a single, but he gets a double there. He ended up getting thrown out at third, trying to advance to third base on a wild pitch. But hey, he affected this game. He got a double. It was great to see. And John Means, you know, he's coming for Shohei Ohtani's stature as the best two-way player in the game right now. Third thing you need to know from this one is that, you know, the Orioles offense was not super loud in this game. They did get nine hits, but they only scored two runs. But the thing you need to know is the Orioles jumped on the Phillies quickly. And, you know, the Orioles have done that a good amount of times this year, score some runs in the first inning, but they haven't gotten any help from their starters when they would come out and try to put up a zero. But when you have John Means on the mound and you get out to that early lead in the top of the first, that changes the entire complexion of a game. That is what the Orioles did. Ranger Suarez was the starter for the Phillies. He's been fantastic this year. And the O's jumped all over him. Austin Hayes led it off with a single. You got to first and second. Pedro Severino delivered an RBI single. Then Ryan McKenna delivered an RBI single. And all of a sudden, it was 2-0 in the first inning. That was all the Orioles scored. And again, they had nine hits. They had other chances throughout the game to, you know, get some add-on runs home. They weren't able to do it. But to jump out of that lead when the other team knows they're facing John Means, one of the best pitchers in baseball, and then when Means puts up that scoreless bottom of the first, all of a sudden you're heading to the second. Means looks good. The Orioles offense looks good. And the Phillies are already behind the eight ball. And that was just huge in this game. And obviously, it's easy to say it was huge because it was the only two runs scored in the game, and it's why the Orioles won. But to do it in the top of the first already put that pressure on the Phillies, who already have enough pressure on them, trying to get into the playoffs for the first time in a decade. And it really, really helped out just the flow of this game for the Orioles. and it was huge for the Birds. Fourth thing you need to know from this one is that the Orioles bullpen was not dominant by any stretch, but what the Orioles bullpen did do was perfect. They did what they had to do, and they retired all seven batters that they faced in this one. And, you know, I thought John Means left the game first and third, two outs in the sixth, and the seventh, I should say. It's a 2-0 game. Cole Sulcer gives up a line drive, but it's right at Santander, and it ends the inning. And, you know, you're thinking back to Sunday's game when the Orioles got that three-run double from Trey Mancini in the top of the seventh to take a 6-5 lead at Fenway. And you're thinking, you know, great rally by the O's. They take the lead in the seventh, but they still had nine outs to get. Connor Green came in the bottom of the seventh, immediately gave up three runs. There goes the lead, and the Orioles ended up losing that game 8-6 on Sunday. And you're thinking about that again with this O's bullpen. Are they going to cough it up again? Well, Sulcer gets out of the jam. Sulcer comes back out there. He goes 1-2-3 in the bottom of the eighth. No strikeouts, no walks either, but it only took him 12 pitches to get four outs. Then Brandon Hyde went back to Tyler Wells, and I kind of like it. Wells has struggled in his last two save chances, but he gives the rookie the ball again with a 2-0 lead in the bottom of the ninth, facing one of the best, you know, 1-2-3 punches you're going to see in lineups. Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, and Andrew McCutchen. Here you go, rookie. Take the ball and get me a save. And I will say, Bryce Harper crushed a ball to dead center field. Cedric Mullins, who had come in as a defensive replacement, caught the ball with basically his back up against the wall in center on the first pitch of the inning for out number one. Not exactly what you wanted. Ball was 108.2 miles per hour off the bat. It was hit 401 feet. The expected batting average was 660, but it turned into an out. Then you have the next batter, JT Realmuto, on a 3-1 pitch. Hits a ball 101.4 miles an hour. A line drive to the track in right field. But Anthony Santander goes back, makes the catch on a ball with a 490 expected batting average. But it's an out for Tyler Wells. And then guess what? Very next pitch, Andrew McCutchen pops up in the infield. Pedro Severino grabs it, and the Orioles win the game 2-0. So it wasn't dominance from the Orioles relievers. Weren't all these swings and misses, strikeouts, you know, looking nasty stuff. But guess what? It was 7-up, 7-down. That's what they needed. And the Orioles finished off the shutout that John Means started and got that 2-0 win. And the fifth and final thing you need to know from this one is, you know, I mentioned it earlier with the Orioles offense getting nine hits, but, you know, only getting the two runs. Still a good thing, though, that most of the Orioles lineup came up with a hit. You had eight of the nine starters, including John Means, in the lineup get a hit. The only guy who did not was Ryan Mountcastle, who was 0-for-4 with a strikeout. But everybody else had at least one hit. That includes Pat Valaika, Richie Martin, Kelvin Gutierrez, and John Means, who finished out the lineup. Includes Ryan McKenna as well. Pedro Severino had two hits, a couple of singles, including an RBI as well. Everybody got in there and got some hits, and they didn't exactly string them together. They did in the first, but didn't do it after that. But it was nice to see the guys like Martin and Gutierrez and McKenna and Valaika, who have struggled with the bat, go out there and pick up a single. You know, they're not hitting the ball into the gap. They're not hitting homers, but pick up a single. Start to get that confidence rolling over the last week or two of this season and try to get some offense going as you try and stake your claim for potentially a roster spot in 2022. It was good to see all those guys really put it together. And shout out to Austin Hayes as well, who led off the game with a single and scored a run. He also worked a walk in this game, something Austin Hayes doesn't really do. And the one thing, you know, even with Austin Hayes being red hot lately, we've been kind of stammering for him to do is draw more walks. He did that in this game as well. So even though they only got two runs, shout out to the O's offense. It was enough. John Means was sensational. And the Orioles win the game 2-0. Now, the pitching staff put up the shutout. And because it was such a close game and Means pitched so well into the seventh inning, the Orioles didn't have to dig deep into the bullpen, which meant a guy like Brooks Criskey didn't get a chance to make his Orioles debut. But the O's did claim him off waivers from the Yankees last week, and they added him to the active roster just a couple days ago. And we want to get to know more about Criskey because, to be honest, it looks like it's an Orioles bullpen game tonight. He's probably going to pitch at least an inning and make his Orioles debut. So to come tell us more about Brooks Criskey, Stacey Gatsoulias will join the podcast. Stacey is the host of Locked On Yankees here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And Stacey will join us to talk about Criskey, his career with the Yankees since he was drafted, the success he had in the minors, the struggles he had in the majors, and why the Yankees moved on from him, but how he could potentially have some success with the Orioles. So that's all coming up after the break. We're talking to Stacey Gatsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees, and we're talking about the newest Orioles right-handed reliever, Brooks Criskey. So we'll get to learning more about the newest Oriole, Brooks Kreisky, in just a second. But first, we're back and better than ever. That describes BetOnline.ag, as all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline.ag is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. And don't forget to use that promo code NFL100. And while you're there, plug in the promo code LOCKEDON as well so they know that we sent you. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. At BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so we welcome Stacey Gonsoulias back into the podcast, the host of Locked On Yankees here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Actually, first time she's been on this pod since the beginning of the season when we did our team crossovers with the Orioles and the Yankees. And we are recording just minutes after an Austin Hayes walk-off against the Yanks, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Brooks Kreisky, who is going from the Yankees to the Orioles. And first of all, Stacey, thank you so much for taking some time to join the podcast.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
And so we have you on to talk about Brooks Kreisky. And you know, we were talking about this a little bit before we hit record, is that he kind of falls into the category of basically what the Orioles have been looking for all season, is that a somewhat younger relief pitcher who hasn't gotten much of a chance at the major league level. And when he has, it hasn't gone that well. And a good team kind of gave up on him early because they needed roster space because they're a good team. And the Orioles, being a bad team, are just looking for anybody that they can strike gold on. So Brooks Kreisky comes in, a 27-year-old right-handed pitcher who pitched in 8 games for the Yankees this season. And I'm just going to say his ERA out loud and then let you kind of chime in on why it was that bad. But the ERA was 15.26 this season in 7 2/3 innings. Stacey, I give the floor to you. Why was the ERA 15.26?
Because he gave up 14 runs in those 7 2/3 innings, and he couldn't, no matter what situation they put him in, they could put him into a game where they were up by 5 or 6 runs and it wasn't a high leverage situation and he wouldn't do well. And they didn't really put him in too many high leverage situations, but even if there was a situation where it was semi high leverage, he couldn't do anything right. I felt bad for him watching him too, because you don't want to see a guy do that. You don't want to see him come out and constantly be bad. And that's just what it felt like every time Brooks Kreisky came into a game.
Yeah. And I got to say, you know, you can always kind of, there's always for teams that are obviously in the playoff race, there's always kind of like one game where they point to a guy before he gets DFA'd, where it was like, that was the moment. And he did give up 5 runs in an inning to the Blue Jays in his final appearance as a Yankee. So I'm assuming that's kind of an easy thing to look at and say that was the last straw for him.
Yeah, it feels like every time a guy does bad against the Blue Jays in September, the Yankees get rid of him, like Adam Ottavino last year. So there might be a pattern there. I mean, if anything, I would have thought the Yankees would have said goodbye to him permanently after he uncorked 4 wild pitches in an inning in Fenway, but it didn't happen then. So
yeah, I kind of wanted to ask about that too, because, you know, I'm kind of looking at the game logs right now, and that last appearance was the 5 runs. The 2 appearances before that, you mentioned, you know, the wild pitches in Fenway, but he had back-to-back appearances. His second to last and third to last appearances with the Yankees came in the 10th inning of tie games. Were the Yankees kind of out of relievers, or was it a situation where Aaron Boone was kind of like, let's see what we got here?
No, they were out of relievers. Yeah. In some cases, you know, when you're watching a Yankee game, it is sort of Aaron Boone thinking, okay, let's see what can happen here. Cause I don't know why he thinks that way. It's almost as if he doesn't realize every game is important at this point in the season. But yeah, it's getting to the point where if you look at the bullpen usage, like sometimes he would just use guys too many times and then you would be left with a Brooks Kreisky and you basically had no choice but him into a situation like that. So, you know, I keep joking about Lucas Lecky being this year's Scott Proctor, because, you know, he came out of nowhere, hadn't pitched in the majors since 2015, and Boone has relied on him so much. And yeah, you know, with Kriske, it was one of those situations where it's kind of like, all right, we got to put someone in there with an arm, so we might as well put Brooks Kriske.
And I got to say, one of those two 10th inning appearances, he actually had a scoreless inning, and he actually helped the Yankees win that one game against the Phillies. And, you know, I did want to ask, because Orioles fans, obviously, you know, the Orioles obviously see something in Kriske that might work, that, you know, they wouldn't have claimed him if they didn't. And Orioles fans are looking for some sort of positive spin. Now, he had three scoreless appearances out of the, I believe, eight times he pitched. So that's a little bit positive. But was there any moment where you can think back to watching him pitch where there was ever the thought of, you know, this could work out, this is a little better than a 15 ERA?
I'm trying to think. There was one game where he did okay. Here, let me double check that. Because I was looking back, when I was looking for Brooks Kriske news on Twitter, I saw someone, there was an appearance against Boston, although they were already really losing, and he pitched the last inning, but he pitched a full inning, struck out two, wasn't a high leverage situation, but you know, that was June 5th when Boston was, I think, still in first place at that point, and they were still doing really well. So, I don't know, like I said, before we started recording, I feel like him going to Baltimore is going to be good for him. I feel like there is that sort of pressure of being on the Yankees and having to perform well. And if you don't, you know, you'll hear it from everyone. And I think he'd be better off. And this happens to a lot of guys who leave the Yankees. you've seen it with starting pitchers that it's happened to, where they leave the Yankees, they go to a team that's not as prominent and not as pressure filled, and they do better. So I think Oriole fans shouldn't worry about him. I think if the Orioles work with him, I think he could actually be a good addition to the bullpen.
Yeah. And the Orioles actually, it was funny to see him claimed by the Orioles as they were playing the Yankees, but the Orioles did actually send him right to AAA. So he's not going to start in the big leagues, but you know, he's a guy who, you know, did pitch a little bit in 2020 as well. Let's be honest, the numbers weren't much better. He's kind of a fastball splitter guy, it looks like. But, you know, I did want to ask this as well. You know, he was a Yankees draft pick. So, you know, it wasn't just like the Yankees kind of claimed him on waivers. He was somewhat of a prospect, a little bit, it seems like, a sixth round pick for the Yankees out of 2016. So when he came up in 2020 and made his debut in the weird season last year, he pitched in four games. Again, it didn't go that well either. I do know he made his major league debut against the Orioles last year. I vaguely remember that. But was there any kind of hype like, oh, we're bringing up Kriske, like, you know, he was kind of doing well in the minors, he was a prospect, or was he just kind of another arm that teams used in 2020 because they just needed to find guys to throw pitches?
Yeah, I would say it was the latter. I think the most that anyone really said about Brooks Kriske was about how odd his name is. I don't think there really was any hype around him when he came up for 2020, you know, because the Yankees do have some guys in the minor league system that you know of their names because you're constantly hearing about them. And Brooks Kriske didn't seem to be one of those guys.
So kind of the last thing on him, you know, obviously we know it didn't go well. He ends his Yankee career 11 and a third innings, 19 earned runs allowed, and a 15.09 ERA over two seasons. And it's funny how this works out with these guys, because I just kind of pulled up his minor league numbers, and he was like outstanding in the minor leagues. Like, he had some unbelievable ERAs, especially early in his career. He's always been a reliever, which is also kind of interesting. Most of these guys, you know, they're starters in the minors. They become a reliever. He got drafted. He went right to the bullpen for the Yankees. And so he knows this role. So kind of the last question is, you know, as he goes to the Orioles, you know, would there be any fear from Yankee fans of like, oh no, could Brooks Kriske hurt us down the line in an Oriole uniform? Or was it just so bad that it's kind of like, we need to move on, we need to get another pitcher in here, and good luck to him in Baltimore?
I don't think there will be a fear of Brooks Kriske, but it'll be one of those situations that, you know, next year he'll be pitching against the Yankees again and actually pitch well. And Yankee fans will be like, why couldn't you do that for us? It'll be that sort of situation.
And I guess the one good thing for him, just one more thing, is like, you know, the Yankees weren't going to give him much of a chance. I mean, you know, he got eight games, but it really wasn't a lot of chances. He was back and forth. At least for him, you know, he does go to a team where he's going to get a chance. Like, whether it works out or not, he's going to get a real chance at the major leagues instead of kind of being a backup option going back and forth from AAA to the majors.
Right. And that was the opposite with, you know, Clay Holmes. You know, he didn't have that great of an outing tonight. Well, at first he did, and then he kind of screwed up at the end there, but he wasn't seeing any kind of exposure really being with the Pirates. And since he came over to the Yankees, his numbers are so much better. And it's kind of the opposite effect there. And the same thing happened with, I think Luis Sessa's doing okay with the Reds now that he's over there. But the Yankees could really use Luis Sessa now. I don't know why they even got rid of him. I think it was a salary thing, which is really silly. But it's kind of funny how the Yankees were making all these moves at the trade deadline to kind of fix the bullpen. And now they're kind of screwed because, you know, they lost Loaisiga, although he's throwing tomorrow. And certain things are happening. Chad Green giving up home runs at a clip that is unbelievable compared to how he's pitched the last three seasons. And it just works out that way. So you know what? Brooks Kreisky could go to the Orioles and become a really good reliever. As you said, he's only going to be, he's turning 28 in like February. He's still young. He still has time to turn this around. And as you said, he could become a major player on a team like the Orioles. It could happen.
He's going to get a chance. You know, again, as I said, he'll start in AAA, but he'll, I'm sure, be at the big leagues this season probably. And if not, he will pitch in the big leagues probably for the Orioles next season. But, you know, the hope for the O's is if they give him a bigger sample size and a bigger chance, he will not have a 15 ERA at the end of the day. But Stacey, thank you so much for hopping on, especially after watching that Orioles-Yankees game and still being gracious enough to come on the podcast. We thank you for that. And again, you can check out Stacey over at Locked On Yankees if you'd like to hear a little more about a playoff race, something you're not going to hear much about here on Locked On Orioles for a while. But Stacey, thanks again. So we'll get back to the Orioles talk in just a second. But first, got to tell you about DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless, seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using rockauto.com. And, you know, they're a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And really the best part of rockauto.com, the prices are reliably low for every single customer. And they have everything you could possibly need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet, and much, much more. The other good thing, I know nothing about cars, but if I need something, I can go to rockauto.com and find it quickly and easily and for a good price. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So our thanks again to Stacey Gatsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees here on the Locked On Podcast Network, for coming back on the podcast with me today to talk about Brooks Kreisky and his fairly brief time with the New York Yankees. Again, talked about Kreisky a little bit last week when the Orioles first claimed him, just to give you the little background on him. But a 27-year-old right-handed pitcher, sixth-round pick by the Yankees in 2016 out of USC. And for Kreisky, you know, it did not go well for him, let's just say that, at the big league level over the last 2 years. Made his major league debut with the Yankees in 2020 against the Orioles. 3 2/3 innings, 6 runs, 3 hits, 8 Ks, 7 walks, and a homer over 4 different appearances in relief. Then it was 8 relief appearances at the major league level in 2021. Again, 7 2/3 innings, 14 runs, 12 hits, 7 Ks, 6 walks, 5 homers. bad, bad, bad from Kripke. But when you look at the minor league numbers, they were pretty good. This year at AAA, 25 appearances, a 3.68 ERA, 29 in the third innings, 43 strikeouts, just 14 walks. He started off his Orioles career over the weekend with a 1-2-3 inning with a couple of strikeouts in his first and what could be only inning with the Norfolk Tides, because, of course, Kripke has now been called up to the Orioles. Obviously, he hasn't pitched yet out of the Oriole bullpen, but we should see him at some point. Again, a guy who's going to throw a lot of that fastball. You know, he's thrown it about 61% of the time at the major league level, 95, 96, can run it up to 97. And then he goes with kind of a split-fingered changeup as his top off-speed pitch, uses it about 31% of the time. It's about 85 miles an hour, good difference from his four-seamer. And then he's tossed in a slider here and there that comes in around 84 as well. But he's kind of a four-seam splitter guy and has that slider maybe in his back pocket. But, you know, we will see if he can turn the minor league success he has had into more major league success, because, again, he had some fantastic strikeout numbers in the minors. And really, the strikeout numbers have still been good in the majors, just been everything else has been pretty bad. And he's always been a reliever his entire career in the minor leagues, as we talked about. So hopefully he can pull it together with the Orioles. Now, the Orioles made the waiver claim when they did and put Kripke in AAA on the 40-man roster, and then pretty much immediately here called him up. Again, we've yet to see him pitch, but we should at some point this week see him out of the Oriole bullpen. But he was not the only roster move that the Orioles made along with calling up Kripke. They also put Thomas Eshelman back on the active roster. Of course, Eshelman, 27-year-old right-hander who the Orioles have had since 2019, had a pretty bad 2019, then was honestly pretty good in 2020. If you remember back, a 3.89 ERA for Eshelman in 34 and two-thirds innings with the Orioles, four starts, eight relief appearances in 2020, but just didn't back it up here in 2021. Earlier in the year when he was with the team, six appearances, five starts, an 8.02 ERA for Eshelman in 21 and a third innings. He allowed 19 runs on 29 hits, struck out just seven and walked 10 and allowed five home runs. We know he's not a big strikeout guy, but the walks went up and he just did not look good at all. Basically lost all that he had seemed to gain in 2020. So Eshelman here, though, he's going to get another shot. You know, his time with AAA this year, not great either. It was 15 appearances, three starts with the Norfolk Tides. He had a 7.80 ERA in 30 innings, but it was 18 strikeouts to only three walks in those 30 innings with the Tides. So he'd at least, you know, kind of regained the command, was still getting hit around. He's going to probably be kind of the long man for the Orioles for a couple days. Honestly, wouldn't be surprised if they don't even need a long man potentially. And, especially with John Means pitching so well on Monday night, and then just kind of send him back down without using him again. But Thomas Eshelman is back in the big leagues for the Orioles. Of course, the O's had to make two corresponding moves as well. The first one was optioning Spencer Watkins back down to AAA Norfolk, so they basically replaced their long men. Of course, Watkins had that good start to his career with the Orioles, then it got bad. They sent him down to AAA. He comes back, and honestly, things stayed bad. In his three September appearances, he allowed nine runs on 11 hits in four and a third innings, one strikeout, two walks, and four home runs allowed. That was in, you know, three mop-up relief appearances, but, you know, we thought it got bad right before they sent him down in, you know, late August. It got even worse the second time around. He was optioned to AAA. Would not be surprised to see him DFA'd if the Orioles need to make a move here on the 40-man roster. But speaking of being DFA'd, they did DFA somebody else to make some room, and that was Dustin Knight, who was actually back down in AAA. He had been optioned last week back down to AAA Norfolk, but they DFA'd him off of the 40-man roster. So at the moment, Dustin Knight is headed through waivers. Obviously, the Orioles hope that he'll pass through and they can keep him in AAA. But Knight, of course, this year, seven appearances at the big league level, 9.35 ERA, 10 runs on 11 hits in 8 2/3 innings, 11 Ks and 5 walks. But he had been fairly good in the minors, you know, a 3.00 ERA in 36 innings. But remember, he had an ERA around 1 when the Orioles first called him up. That was his AAA ERA. Since he's kind of gone back and forth between the Tides and the Orioles over the last 2 months, he's gotten really hit around hard in AAA, and that was kind of the big reason why they DFA'd Knight off the 40-man to make room to put Eshelman on that 40-man roster and get him to the big leagues. But it was kind of an interesting day of moves. You know, Eshelman, Watkins, Kriske, and Knight. None of these four guys are really at this point part of the Orioles' future plans. It seemed like four guys were kind of just here for maybe this year, and they were all involved in one day of roster moves. But, you know, the Orioles are, with Thomas Eshelman, and they are with Brooks Kriske, and maybe those two guys will pitch tonight here in Game 2 against the Philadelphia Phillies. But in terms of previewing tonight's game, well, we don't really have much to go off of, because as I record this here late Monday night, neither team has named a starter. Brandon Hyde said most likely it's going to be a bullpen day for the Orioles, so to be honest with you, I would expect maybe Thomas Eshelman to get the start, and probably Brooks Kriske to pitch as well, and we don't really know on the Philly side either way. Now, we know it'll be Aiken versus Wheeler on Wednesday night, but we're not really sure for tonight. But either way, there's going to be a game two in this series. Orioles a chance to pick up a series win, keep playing spoiler against the playoff hopeful Phillies in a 7:05 p.m. Eastern time start at Citizens Bank Park in Philly. And then tomorrow we'll be back here on the podcast. We will recap game two of the series for you, get you the five things you need to know, and we'll get you ready for game three, of course, on Wednesday night. And we'll also take a look on tomorrow's episode at Ryan Mountcastle's Rookie of the Year case in the American League, because he has been fantastic this year. After really a bad first 6 weeks of the year, he turned it on late. And, you know, it seems like the way he's been hitting, he should be a shoe-in for the award. But honestly, on tomorrow's episode, going to take a look at why he may not be a lock. And to be honest, he's probably not the favorite at this point, but why that's still just okay. And it is just fine that Ryan Mountcastle may not win the award, but he's still a big-time piece of the Orioles' future. That's coming up on tomorrow's episode. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.